Praise the Lord. Amen.
There's a lot going on,
not only in the house of the Lord, but in our lives and in our community. Amen. Today, as Kathy said, friends and family. So it's one of the weekends that we have each year, each month. And so if you're here and forgot about friends and family, there's always plenty of food. Please, right after service. I'm going to kind of shorten the service a little bit today. With a short exhortation, but before I do that, what I made for friends and family was triple chocolate brownies. So I just want you to know that when I make those in the house, I made a batch the other night and set it on the counter, gone this morning. So made another batch last night and kind of hid that away in my house. I can take the chocolate chip Oreo ice cream and I can empty the freezer. I can put it way in the back where nobody will ever see it. And when I go to get it, it's gone. So I don't know how my kids find those special things, but in my house they have radar and probably they Google it. I don't know what they do. But so I brought, anyway, please join us.
They are?
I think that might be part of it. I don't know how they find it. It's amazing. It is my special privilege this morning to introduce Garen that is with us this morning. So praise the Lord. Won't embarrass him too much. I just met him, but something very special about this young man. So thank you for being in our family this morning and welcome. And we're glad you're here, and we hope that the Spirit of the Lord remains upon you in these days to answer the desires of your heart and the things that are passionate in your thoughts. Amen. We are continuing the Feast of Tabernacles, right? And one of the major themes at the feast this year was being a conduit, right? And the conduit, you can be a conduit in so many different ways for the Lord. One of the ways we're encouraged to do it is share the testimony that God has given each one of us. You know, it takes courage to do that. It takes boldness to do that. It takes a little bit of boldness to share the personal things in our lives that the Lord is doing. And sometimes when we share our testimony, you're not sure how it's going to go, right? And how it's going to be received. But you know, when you testify, you can testify with just about anything. You can testify of any experience. You can testify of something you heard, something you've seen, something that's real to you that the Lord is doing in the spirit, right? You can testify of the spiritual realm and the things that God is releasing to you. You can testify of places of revelation, of things that have been your experience. The one thing about a testimony is, you know, what is a testimony, right? Webster defines it this way: a formal, spoken, or written statement that provides evidence or proof of the existence of something. It is firsthand knowledge gained by experience that authenticates the truth. Amen? You know, sometimes I think we think, well, our testimony is just, you know, just my story. Well, it is, but it's so much more than that. Your testimony, when it's focused on the things of God and the things of the Spirit and what He's doing in your life, it comes with a certain amount of power. It comes with a certain amount of authority because you're testifying of who God is. You're bearing truth about who God is. And that means the hearer that is around you or the place that you're offering it have an opportunity to also be encouraged in those things that are happening. You know, the substance, the fact that is presented, the evidence to others. So many people are saying today in our time, you read the headlines, where is God? Where is He? What is He doing? Why is all this happening? And 100 other questions. But I believe that God came to us during a period of tabernacles and said, you know, now is the time that I'm going to begin to reveal myself to answer that cry. That cry that so many people, just don't know. And so they're responding in the only way that they can. Where is God? If there is a God. And sometimes it involves anger and frustration and resentment because they don't know. And I want you to know that in this season of time that will increase upon increase upon increase, right? That testimony comes with a mantle of authority, and it's in that place where signs and wonders. You see, when we give a testimony of Jesus Christ, just like the apostles did, it comes with an overshadowing of His presence. It comes with signs and wonders and miracles. Not that you produce, but you're opening the door for heaven to be part of what you're doing. And it's that kind of authentication that God so much wants to be made known. Amen? I don't want you to be afraid to give a strong testimony. Some people come and give a testimony, well, you know, this and well, kind of that, and I don't know if this was God or not, and, you know, I want you to be bold and give a strong testimony. If you had an experience in the natural and you were in the bank, right, doing a transaction, and all of a sudden a couple of people came into the bank and held up the bank, right, and it was part of a robbery, and it lasted for maybe a good 45 seconds, and you were there, and you were frozen, like frozen in time, not wanting to be seen. But you know if you moved and if you ran, you would be seen and put yourself in danger. So you froze, and you experienced the unfolding of this bank robbery, right? And then in 40 seconds later, they ran out the door with the bags of money. Their heads weren't covered. You got a good look at them. It's possible, like the state's attorney would contact you after they were apprehended and after they were brought into a place of the road to justice, right? It's possible that you would be called as a state's witness. It's possible that you would have to testify of the things that you saw and experienced. And imagine that you were the only one besides the tellers. There was no cameras involved. It's old school, right? No cameras, no security system, none of that. Just your eyeballs and your witness of what you saw. And so you were very critical to this case in bringing about justice of what we are held to the laws and the rules of this land, right? And so you got put on the stand and you raised your hands and you said, I will tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God, right? And then on the stand, you kind of thought, well, gosh, your testimony was, well, you know, that was like 9 months ago. And I kind of think those are the two that are sitting here. And gosh, they're wearing different clothes. And I kind of think they're the same. But, you know, and the whole thing happened so fast and I'm just not sure. What do you think that the defense attorney would do with that kind of a testimony? Right? He would destroy it. Because it wasn't in the boldness of just what you experienced, just what you saw. There was uncertainty involved. The reason I bring this up is because in the spiritual realm, the same thing happens. It's the same kind of thing in the courtrooms of heaven. If you come in to describing a testimony and you're wishy-washy, I guarantee you in a month or two, you begin to lose it. You begin to give it away. The adversary comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And so what he wants to do is place doubt in your mind and uncertainty. Did you really get that touch from the Lord? Did you really? Were you really healed? Did you really experience that event? And so now all of a sudden, his mandate is to win over and nullify the testimony that God built in your life. That's one of the reasons why I always write down the major things that God does. I have a book about this thick that I keep, and I go back and read it, and I said, no, that's not what I heard. That's not what I saw. That's not how it experienced. I'm going to read it again because it's a testimony that is written down soon after the event happened, and it brings me back to the anchor of who God was and what He did. And it is so important in this time that you not only remember and provide a strong testimony, right? But that you don't allow that to be colored or fade away or grayed out. Amen? That is how the devil works. Over time, he wants to cast doubt in your mind in the experience that God really, that it really didn't happen, to testify as one of the sons of God. Amen? Means that you recognize an experience that was orchestrated by God. And your words offer a story to others that proves he is involved in your life. It authenticates him as the author, the one who loves and watches over you, the one who is involved in your daily activity, the one that keeps you from harm. Testifying of God, given an experience, established by God as real and working in your life, and it builds confidence in him. It builds confidence in you. And it can build confidence in the hearers. Amen? Yes. Last week, we opened the microphone up to give some testimonies, and I want to remind you of some of them that happened. Tina gave a testimony that she was needing to go to one of the southern states and be with Wayne for an operation that he was having. And she said that, you know, I wasn't quite sure if there was room enough for me on the bus, right? And as it played out, the bus had to stop in another place between where she started and the destination. And so she still was very apprehensive and not sure whether or not there was room for her on the bus because more people were getting on the bus. And what would she do then, right? She couldn't just go back to her car because she was somewhere in the middle of the journey. And she was worried about it, and she was anxious about it, and she was fretting over it. And the way that the testimony went is somebody came up to her who she didn't know, was not the bus driver, and didn't seem to have anything to do with the busing system. And so I asked her, are you nervous? Do you not believe that you're supposed to be on this bus? And so the guy goes, you're supposed to be on this bus. Now think about it for a minute. She didn't say, and I saw Gabriel with his wings, and I saw the angels, and I saw the cloud of witnesses, and all of a sudden I realized God was with me. Her testimony involved just her experience. Her experience. The experience that she had. Now what the Spirit of the Lord was doing in that experience, at least with my witness, is that was an angel. Had to be an angel. I can't explain it any other way because her testimony said it wasn't the bus driver or anybody involved with the bus line. What I think happened is, at least my witness that I have, is that God was trying to get Tina to give up on the fear and the anxiousness and the thoughts and the anxiety. And because God loves Tina so passionately and so intimately, he called one of the angels that are around his throne. He said, come, I have a job for you. And he gave instruction to the angel because it's written in the book, in the word, I will give my angels charge over you. Amen? And what played out in that situation is the angel gets an assignment from the very throne room of God, who God knows all things, right? Tasked with the role of meeting Tina and communicating to Tina, you belong on this bus. There's a seat for you. You're on my list. You're on my list. Now, Tina said she wasn't on the list before. You see, what a testimony does, the Holy Spirit starts to overshadow and minister to the people that are hearing it in a way that Tina didn't say. She didn't say that was an angel, Gabriel, or any of them. But what I was discerning was God's passion and love for her. That he changed the events of heaven to give her an experience of the love of God. Of why he wants the story that we have as individuals. Because I left last Sunday thinking, wow. She didn't say the angel, but I'm convinced it was an angel. I'm going to keep my eyes open all week long because God isn't a respecter of persons, and I want that kind of encounter, right? I want that kind of an experience. The reason I'm talking about it is because if you didn't discern that, that is what's going on in heaven. When you give a testimony, God orchestrates heaven and earth to display the forward kingdom motion. And that's what testimonies do. Amen? So I'm not sure that I saw an angel this week because sometimes you don't see them. Sometimes you're not aware. But when God says, I give my angels charge over you, I'm certain in my book of memories, I'm certain that I've had encounters with angels because I can go back and read them and I'm like, ooh, wow, that's amazing. I live so much in the natural. I want to live in the spirit to see and experience more of that kind of thing. Another testimony that happened is there was a woman that came in on the first couple of days of Tabernacles, and out of everything that she could have said, I'm so glad to be here, been looking forward to this, she gave a testimony. And her testimony was, a year ago at the previous Tabernacles, I was prayed over. And I have been free for 1 year from vertigo. And she established the atmosphere around her for signs and wonders and miracles and a testimony. Now you see, testimonies have the potential to produce miracles in other people, in other events, in other places. And I want you to understand that we are walking out the day. We can read about the disciples. We can read about the word, and we can gain hope and expectation and the probability of those things playing out in our lives. Paul is a good example, right? And so as I begin to close, because I said it was going to be short, and when I get going, oh my gosh. But Lonnie's going, do an exhortation. And I go, okay, I probably will have a problem with that. I promise I'm going to. But with Paul, right? Paul was passionate about doing what he was trained to do in his family on his time. Unfortunately, he didn't know Christ. And so his function and the reason why he thought he was born, what he thought his job was, he was a well-trained, well-knowledge individual who probably had a very high IQ, right? And he could understand a lot of different. So his job was to get letters from the council and go into regions and arrest Christians and drag them before the council to be thrown into prison and jail and all that kind of stuff. And when he was on his way to one of the places, Damascus, right? The Spirit of the Lord met him, the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, right? Met him. He didn't know it was Jesus. And it knocked him off his horse and it blinded him for 3 days. Now this event unfolded, so he heard a voice. Why are you kicking against the goads? Right? Jesus is revealing himself. In other words, wait a second. The thing that you're passionate for, I'm not. The things that you are doing is not me. When all of the while he thought he was doing the work of God. He thought he was doing the spiritual mandate that he was given. And it totally transformed his life. I want you to know that that is playing out today, right now, in our family, in our midst. When Tina gives a man, well, I was on my way, right? Paul was on the way to Damascus and he was knocked off. Tina was on the way to someplace and she was walking in anxious thoughts and fears. Now, fear is not normally a part of her life, but she was fearing, I don't want to be separated from my husband. I don't want to be separated in this day of providing support and being there for him. That was her heart. But she was struggling, right? And then God came along and answered and paved the way. And she said, you know, I finally had to think, okay, God, this is you. Best I can do, I'm going to trust you. Because she wasn't sure that she would get the bus on the way back. But her testimony was, God took care of everything. That means when I get into situations and you get into situations and our family gets into situations, we're to expect changes to happen that are divine, that are sent from God, that are purposed. It may not happen the same way. Probably won't. Usually doesn't. But still, God orchestrates the answer to the cry that we have. Amen? Yeah. In Paul's case, they sent another man to pray over him, and his name has gone far and wide, right? And he's like, I'm not going to go pray for that guy. And God says, you have to, because I called him. He's one of mine. And from then on, he acted very different, and his testimony did a 180. And so even for the people that we pray for, the people that are persecuting us, it tells us in the Word over and over and over again, God is capable of turning a 180. Amen? So as I close this morning, we do still have time for a couple more testimonies. And I want to encourage you, right, to bring a testimony, because I went home encouraged last week and so many others did. And if we're to be the body of Christ where every part supplies, right? Every single part gives something. It doesn't have to be super spiritual. There wasn't much that Tina said about spiritual things. It was just her testimony. The Spirit of God does the rest. The Spirit of the Lord does the rest. And so if you're willing to just share a testimony, God comes and He just overshadows it and He ministers to the multitudes and the people. Amen. So is anybody willing? Come on up. Let's try to have two or three here. So Deb, you know, 3 to 5 minutes kind of thing.
Bless.
Because I know we need to get to the cornerstone.
During Tabernacles, I had written Kathy about this and just didn't have a chance to share it. So he was talking about angels, so I thought I would share this one appropriately with it. My sister came and her daughter and son, well, it's her grandson, but she raises him as her son. And my niece's they're not really boyfriend and girlfriend, but they used to be. Okay, so. So they were all sitting on the back row behind us, and when we left church that night, they said the conversation started in the car, and we wouldn't have been in the car together because they took their own car, but that night they had car trouble, and we were going to have to go after service to Walmart and pick up windshield wipers because it was raining, and they couldn't drive anywhere without windshield wipers. So we were all in the same car, and we started talking about service, and my niece said, well, I know one thing, there was definitely an angel in that room tonight. And I'm like, why? What happened? You know? And my sister's like, yeah, there definitely was. She goes, because, and I do remember her saying this, a couple nights before, the night before, she had said, she made this loud comment, like, whoa, I just heard, like, my name in my ear, like, 3 times, like, Kim, Kim, Kim. So that was that night. And then the next night, the night that I'm talking about, she also felt a tap. And so each of them were talking about how they felt something whisk by their hand or their shoulder or tap their shoulder and I actually did remember feeling the same thing. I felt a tap on my chair the night before, and then that night I had felt some kind of touch on my body. So I was like, yes, this is like confirmation, because, you know, sometimes you just think, I don't know what you think. You're not thinking spiritually. You're thinking in the natural realm. And that was also, I think, the same night that Dana was speaking, and she had spoken about somebody's feet were being healed. And my sister has neuropathy in her feet. So she had called that out, and my sister had stood up. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but and I believe her feet were healed. So I haven't heard from her since Tabernacle, but she stood right up, and that was her. So I had written Kathy about it just to let her know, like, what was taking place, like, in this back room, in this part of where they're sitting, where Jackie is, that there were multiple witnesses that they felt, you know, stuff. Now, when I talked to my, I was talking to my daughter about it a couple days later, and she goes, actually, she goes, I did too. So she also, Tiffany also felt a touch as well, and something bang her chair. And she thought the same thing I thought. You know, you look back and you go, oh, somebody hit my chair with their foot. And that's exactly what I did. And it was funny because she was saying the same thing. She looked back thinking somebody hit her chair with their foot, but there was nobody there. So, and she knew it was, something was up. So, but God is just, I mean, amazing. Yeah. When we don't even sometimes see that. From our own natural perspective. But, and then one other quick testimony. Years ago when I was going to school, I would drive all the way down to Keene, and on my way, it was toward the end of the year, and I was getting ready to graduate for skincare specialist, and I was on my way on 91, yeah. And I was headed down there. It was just right up here in White River, and I had just gotten on to go that way, and as I got going, and I get reminded of this every now and again because I completely forgot about this. In fact, I don't even know if I shared a testimony about it, but there was a tractor trailer that was coming down the other side of the highway, and he came over the median airborne, like every single wheel off the ground. And I was the only car at the time on the highway, and I remember he came literally, he landed straight up bouncing. And in front of my car. And I remember thinking, where is he going to land and where should I go? But there was no time to think about anything because when it's flying through the air, it's going to land where it's going to land and you're going to be, who knows. But I was just thinking, and every now and again, I'll be cleaning out my stuff in my home and I'll find this article in the newspaper. And it just has the front picture of my, you can see my mirror right there from my car, but they never interviewed me. But I was the first person sitting there right, wow. Literally from here to less than the end of that seat, and the tractor trailer was right there. And I remember it was an old man, and he got out of the car immediately, and he was in shock, and I think he was looking to see what did I hit. And he went right around to the front of this tractor trailer. Nothing had happened. I asked him if he was okay. And later on, I found out through reports that he had actually fallen asleep at the wheel. And he was a man from Canada. So, but that was just another, like, he was talking about the angels and how God puts his angel there to stop that truck. Because he has a purpose for my life. And I want to fulfill that purpose. So I'm so thankful to God and the angels that he sends on our behalf. Yeah.
That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hello. Good, good, good. Come on.
Well, most of you know that back in June, my boss was forced to retire. So I've been doing two jobs, management and supervisor of catering and the dining room. So it's a lot. But since Tabernacles, you know, getting into, you know, the word and worship and just praising the Lord every day on my way to work, thank you for this day, I get in and write my list of what I need to do for the day, and it's quite long. But at the end of the day, I'll look to see what I need to transfer to the next day as top priority. And everything has gotten done. God has stopped time for me at work to be able to get all of this done. And without a heavy weight on my shoulder, just it gets done. And I'm just like, then I go home praising him all day, you know, all the way back home. So he's just,
One or two more. Tom, would you be willing? No? Chris? No? How about... let's just have one or two more. Oh, I see you back there. Who? Darcel and Robin. Yeah. Do you have a testimony? Well, I can bring the microphone to you. That's.
So really a testimony, but I wasn't here last week, but I definitely watched online. And Chris, Daddy, he spoke about listening. And it really touched me because sometimes, you know, we hear the voice of God, but we don't respond to it.
Yeah.
And or even like in communicating with our coworkers, our friends or people, we sometimes hear them, but we don't listen. And this week, I chose to listen. Listen with intent, listen with understanding, listen with the intent to do, you know, if listening required, doing something, you know. So I just want to say to Chris, Daddy, who's also called Daddy, you know, his testimony really moved me to listen a little bit more.
That's good. That's really good. You pass the microphone to your husband there. No? Yeah?
I would just say why.
You have so much inside of you to share.
I'll just say why I said Wednesday, okay?
Yeah. Just, it's your story.
Show the camera on me.
I don't know if it sort of looks like it's coming over this way, but
so
I'll smile. That way we can.
So on Wednesday we had men's meeting and I brought up something to the guys that I'm a mechanic by trade, right? And normally when I go to this particular customer, I'm by myself. My machine, just work on my machine, do my set, and go home. Sorry.
That's okay. It's your story. This is family here.
Right?
This is family.
So I just do my stuff and I go. So this particular customer came and normally he just bring his machine and disappear. But this day he was with me, and just like how Sean is here, we were talking, and this guy told me his whole life story. And I don't think he believes in God, but the last thing I told him, don't worry, God didn't forsake you, because where you are now is where God wants you, right? And he left. Half an hour again, he comes back. And he continues talking, and this time I was just listening. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. Right? I was just listening, and when he was finished, before he left, I said, don't worry, God did not forsake you. Mm-hmm. And the last thing he said was, thank you for listening. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Divine encounters. Amen. Hermine? Quick one? I can come there. One second. Birthday girl, yeah.
Bless the Lord. Today, I just want to say that my usual, God is a good God and he is a never failing one. And I just want to say that in all that I am doing, God is above all things. And I just want to say that without God's presence in your life, it's not worthwhile. Because there are times we try to do things and we don't really talk to God about doing it. We go in and we do things, and when things doesn't really work the way we thought or we want it to work, then we look back and said, if I had just put this thing to God, I think it would be better. So there are times we make some decisions of which we should not have made, and we find ourselves in situations, regrets, and said, if I had known. And you know, someone would say that would always come at the end, if I had known. But today I just want to say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So love ye the world that he gave us his son. And today I have the privilege of saying, God is my helper. He is my source. He is my bridge over troubled waters. Yeah. He is my keeper.
So true.
He is my defense. He is my provider. And today I just want to worship God because he has kept me and I am glad. Today, you know, I really celebrated my 68th birthday, of which I am blessed because there are so many came, not even a month, they are gone. Yeah. He kept me and I have so much to give him thanks for. You know, I have been, you know, going through some phase with, you know, even at my work, some things happen, and I said to myself, it's like I just wanted to stop working because I have been hurting, and it's not really good. A couple of weeks ago, I was at work and, you know, was cleaning behind the bed and not remembering that the monitor board was above me. And I finished cleaning down there and I got up and I was like right up. So it's like now I am even going through some situations which I am not really comfortable with of which I would ask you guys to pray for me about it. But I am having like some coldness running in the head at times, and another time it's hot. It gives me pain down the neck and so forth, so that I even had to make an appointment, and I saw them on Friday. So they're going to be referring me to see the neurologist. They did an x-ray on the head. You know, x-ray shows nothing much. But you know what? I believe that God is going to take care of this situation.
Amen.
Because I have had situation where for months, I've been going to doctors, and I did tests, and with all that was done, nothing was said. The last test I did was an AIDS test, and I said, "Doctor, really? I'm not seeing anyone, so how could I get AIDS, you know? Unless something that stuck me, that's where I got it from." But I was a little upset, you know. Whatever I look and I said, "Doctor, you can't do it. You find nothing with all I'm going through, all these tests." But I said, "You know what? You can't do nothing, but God will take care of it." And I want to tell you, it's for years now, I did not get a pill. I did not get a needle, nothing. But God took care of what was happening. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. And amen. Today I am a overcomer.
Amen. Just stand here with me for a second. Father, just extend your hands. Amen. And so, Father, we declare your word over Hermine. She's one of the sons. She's one of the daughters of Israel. And, Father, I stand here and I declare, you set her tabernacles. Signs and wonders will follow us wherever we go. And I declare over Hermine that no weapon formed against you will prosper. That God is able to restore even the most intimate places of loss in Jesus' mighty name. That his blood has atoned for every shortcoming that you were testifying about earlier. And in these places, God still calls you his daughter, his son. You have a destiny of higher and more substantial. And I declare that these are days of new beginnings for you. New understanding and new experiences above all things. Experience not just the word in your mind, not just the word living in the kingdom that resides inside of you, but manifesting in an outward form to see the workings of the Spirit in the hands that you have put your hands to the plow. And so I declare again for the second time in Jesus' name, no weapon formed against you will prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you for your testimony. It's awesome. Amen. Somebody's waving to me like that. I don't know what that means. I'm supposed to say goodbye. Okay, I got it. I don't do well with sign language. But thank you for joining us this morning. And I hope in your life, if you're online somewhere in the world listening to this message, that you would be so bold as to share a testimony, or
you would have a divine appointment with somebody sharing a testimony on the things that are in your heart, the things that you need. Because the testimonies in this house of what God was doing were from Acts, right? And Paul being transformed into another being to fulfill his destiny. So I pray that wherever you are in the world, that this unfolds in your life as well. God bless and have an awesome day.